Hello, everyone. Say hello,
hi,
David.
Hi, hi, hi.
Welcome back. It seems so long.
Yeah, it hasn't adjust.
Now, let us explain this joke, because we've just done about 3 or 4 minutes worth of intro and then realised we hadn't pressed record.
Yes, the technology that we have didn't give us the opportunity to press record first. One of those technical glitches that you get quite a lot in such things.
Yes.
Back to normal service.
And it does play heavily into the themes of this video because it was a glitch. So read into that what you will. But we are green, so I'm going to say all this again. We are in a green ambient setting. So what does that infer, Davey?
Well, it infers that we are going to be discussing a movie that I have gone from being excited about initially to disappointed and potentially ruining a franchise that I'm a big fan of. And it is, of course, The Matrix Resurrections.
You said it this time, because it took me ages to get my voice ready for it, because I can't say it. Resurrections.
Yeah,
sounds like a newsreader. Well, you know. But yeah, I mean, as I say, we are going to be reviewing that as best we can today, starting with a little bit of a non-spoiler, but I can't be bothered with non-spoilers, because what's the point? If you want to see the movie, then come back. Because why watch a review unless you've seen it? I don't get it.
Exactly. People tend to review after they've seen the film, of course.
Yes.
And we had a lot of positivity going forward into this because we'd done the trailer reaction initially and we're excited. You know, we'd seen some returning characters, some great looking scenes and some visuals that had us excited for what was to come. And then, of course, we saw the film and, unfortunately, in my opinion, wished I hadn't bothered.
Well, this is the thing. We're not behind the times because we were supposed to do this straight away.
We were.
Just before Christmas, and we thought, oh, we'll get it done straight away. But we're in no rush, are we?
No, unfortunately not, because like I've said, it was a disappointing experience for me. So I wasn't exactly rushing to talk about it. Mm. Everyone's got mixed opinions, both good and bad. You know, people like it, people don't, and that's perfectly fine. For me, sadly, didn't enjoy it, but we'll discuss as we go some of the things about the film we did like, in brackets, and some of the things we didn't like.
This is weird for me, because I feel like I'm the middle ground guy, and I'm not usually that. You seem to really like, I can feel it burning within you, and it's like you're projecting this, I'm going to fucking kill him. Whereas I'm like, whoa, let's just look rationally. And you're right, the trailer got goosebumps all over me. I felt something. I felt that this could be a really good interpretation of a new generation. Do you know what I mean? A new generation's way of looking at the Matrix. And it was exciting to me to see it back, you know?
Yeah, it really had high hopes. Now, granted, it's been quite a gap of time between Revolutions and Resurrections coming out. So, you know, people think, why bring out a fourth film and franchise that ended a while back and had relevantly decent closure on the whole trilogy? What was it that brought them back into the kind of the front line kind of thing, the mainstream? But I guess it's potentially to do a soft reboot and bring in other characters and potentially another trilogy. Who knows where they're going to go with it? And they've used this as a way of kind of passing on the baton, as it were. I suppose it's a bit like with the current run of recent Star Wars films, where they were kind of taking out some of the original characters and letting the new young bloods take over to take the franchise further. It could be seen as something like that. But for me, it wasn't an enjoyable experience. And I'm sorry to say that for any Matrix fans out there. I am a Matrix fan. I've been for years. But this film has got problems.
I mean, even my dad, because my dad was going to be coming on tonight, but I nearly forgot to tell him.
All right.
he works a lot anyway, so I don't know if he could have come on. But he's got a very different idea of the Matrix for him. He looks for different things in the film. He looks for the action. He looks for the storytelling, and how it looks, the aesthetic, and the music too. He loves the music, and even he left the cinema with me going like, we were shell shocked. So much so we didn't even catch on to the remake of the song at the end.
Yeah, it's a shame.
No,
I mean, there are positives to take from this film. There aren't many of them, but there are some positives. You know, we had popular characters, you know, Neo, Trinity, Morpheus of sorts. There were things that I wanted to see that I didn't get to see. Characters I would have loved to have seen that I didn't see. you know, it's the Matrix for a new generation, so you have to expect changes.
Yeah, but that, but the thing is that the Matrix is a concept you could have reimagined so simply, literally start afresh, brand new, but using the core themes of the original three as a leaping off point and saying, look, this is new. It's no longer a war. There's a new element to it. Could have done that, but there's good ideas in this film. A lot of good ideas that I really enjoyed and gone, oh, just go on that a bit more. And they don't, you know, and it's a real shame. Oh, God.
The initial starting did play out exactly like the first film. You know, we had that opening scene where the police are going to arrest somebody and the agents turn up looking like the FBI kind of counterparts. And they go into that room where you see Trinity in brackets. In that scene, she's at the computer, the cops break in, she does the thing off the wall and kicks them all and then runs. As the camera kind of moves back, it's revealed that it's not Trinity, it's another person who's reenacting the whole scene. That's based in the original stories of The Matrix, so, you know, the whole Trinity interacting with Neo and so on. But it pans back even further to show these new characters who are kind of retracing the steps of what happened in Neo's time on The Matrix, and I guess how they can fight their way through and stop, you know, the machines taking over and whatnot.
Yeah.
It was nice to have the nods of the original kind of scenes, albeit with different actors and different characters, but it was nice that they kind of retraced the steps kind of thing back to the original. I appreciated that.
But again, to me, like with a lot of the film, it's what's the point? Because we've seen that. And to me, bringing it back, have nuggets of Easter eggs in it like you would do with other stuff, but bring us something fresh with the technology we've got. We don't have to retread that just to go, oh, look, do you remember that from the first one? Well, here it is again, but oh no, there's someone looking from the new one. Oh, they recognize it. And it's all those little things that they're overbearing, they're pulling the film down. Do you know what I mean?
I suppose it's like when you see in, you know, like time travel movies and stuff like that, where they go back to a scene where they're in it as themselves, you know, like Marty does in the second Back to the Future.
That works.
But in this instance, they were using it as kind of like a training exercise. They were, you know, going back to how it all began to see what they could change if they could.
Again, it reminded me of Terminator Genesis, where
they
go back and retread all that, and it's all for the purposes of showing in the trailer, look how cool this is, that we're interacting with the original, only to go off on in a completely bad direction with it. So, you know, if they're going to do it right.
I'm very upset that you brought up Terminator Genesis, because I went to cinema to see that, being a big fan of Terminator and Arnie. And I paid for D-Box as well, so I had that moving seat. And that scene with the helicopter, when he jumps out of it, that seat was going like tenfold leather. It was just hell for leather, even. It was just shaking and rattling. And I'm in this helicopter with Arnie, and I'm thinking I'm going to be thrown off in a minute. It was the most exciting part of the movie, sadly.
To be honest, the thing with that is that, again, the same feel is that there's some good ideas here, but it's lost in all the fluff, you know, and all the stupidity and the bad casting in that film that really let it down. Kyle Reese, fuck off. fuck me. but anyway, can you, you're the man with the knowledge. So can you just go through briefly what you remember of the plot, and then we'll go into what happens and what have you.
I mean, I haven't had a rewatch since, so it's sketchy at best. But like I said, the initial scenes are them of the new characters are using a training exercise to go back to how things happened with Trinity and Neo and Morpheus and so on from the scenes of the first movie. Yeah. So they're kind of watching what happens to see what they could change. This whole premise is much like the first film, where everyone's trying to find Neo, Keanu Reeves' character, who is somehow still integrated into the Matrix, even though he died at the end of Revolutions.
Yeah.
Everyone believes that Neo is still out there. He's still the one. He's still the one that can bring everything together in terms of balancing the machine world and the human world.
He wasn't that far, was he? He was famous.
Yeah, he was famous.
A quick search on Google would have said, oh, he's a head of a multinational gaming company. He's not that hard to find, is he? The original Neo was sort of hidden in the system a little bit better.
Definitely. And there was a lot of nods to that. What I didn't find fun was that the way they incorporated the trilogy into this fourth film was by saying that Neo, Thomas Anderson, was a video game maker who's made The Matrix, basically his life story, into a bunch of video games that people who are living in The Matrix are playing and enjoying by using some of these scenes that they've just taken from the three films and put it onto a screen so you can have flashback moments.
Which is awful. It takes you out of the film.
Yeah, exactly. So we're meant to believe now that it's all been a video game, which is in a virtual world, which isn't in the real world. It's one of those mind-bending things that the first film was so good at doing initially. But we've got, you know, I think it's at like 60 years since Neo and died. So, you know, human survivors are still being freed from the Matrix, but there's more of an equilibrium now. We've got machines that have kind of rebelled from themselves and joined the resistance, as it were. There's another, you know, surviving human city still in the depths of Earth that's still protected and hidden from machines who still want to take over and still eradicate humans and just keep growing them themselves and keeping them in the Matrix because we're all batteries for them. That's the way it is. That's the way it was perceived. They grow us in a chamber, keep us interacting in the Matrix so we can grow, produce energy, so they can keep making machines and keep surviving kind of thing. The humans are still hiding. They're still trying to find ways to blend in and avoid the agents. But there's a lot of same old, same old. They're retracing the steps of the first movie while still trying to find the one, while still trying to stop the machines from killing everybody. It's, like you say, been there, done that,
nothing new, you know, and the things that are new don't make sense. And I'm going to have to bring it onto Morpheus because, and this is the thing, and I'm going to bring up Smith just slightly here as well. Mm. I believe that them not being in the film as they were made this film suffer. I realized how much they were integral to those original films. They need to be there, not just because of their characters, but the way they carry their characters. Smith's way of communicating, Morpheus's his posture, his stoicism, it's all gone. It's all this flat, bland stuff now. And the Morpheus character does not make any fucking sense to me.
Yeah, it's been perceived as kind of a Morpheus 2.0, so a reboot of the Morpheus legend via this character who was initially an agent, who then realizes by, you know, touching things and seeing things not as they should be, he starts to realize that he's not in a real world and wants to escape. But it's just
as a part of the machine.
Yeah.
So as again, the machine. There's a nugget of goodness there, but why make it Morpheus? Because Morpheus already exists in the real world, or did do.
Yeah.
So, and I know it's something to do with Neo's mindset that brought Morpheus back as a machine code or whatever. But to me, that character could have been anyone. It didn't have to be Morpheus. And it feels contrived the way it had to be Morpheus. I don't know. And it felt disrespectful too.
Yeah, I suppose in many ways it did.
You know, the way he was looking at footage going, blah, blah. So to the old Morpheus and then walking around with a pimp suit on and, I don't know. It just felt very disrespectful.
I mean, it kind of fast forwards to Neo, or well, Thomas Anderson, we should say. You know, he's working at his job and he's taking pills every day and speaking to a psychiatrist every day because he still thinks things are going a bit wrong in his mind and he doesn't trust his judgment. But as long as he's popping these pills, which are all blue, by the way, then he can keep himself at bay, even though he suspects, like he did in the first original movie, that things aren't quite right in the world. But by taking these pills, it kind of suppresses the things he's seeing and feeling.
Yeah, and this is what we spoke about in the trailer reaction. And what excited me was that there was a really good idea there, how you link it to the real world with antidepressants and how people are coping right now with life. And this is the one reason why I think I was so excited, because like with Star Trek Picard recently, they brought back that character again. And it excited me the same way, because I thought this is what the world needs right now. They need topics of debate. They also need characters that are like Picard. He was very, very noble. Getting people together to communicate, diplomacy, and posing questions and not being on one side or the other. We've lost that in the world. And Matrix and the Picard character represent the questions and the challenges of the system. This Matrix doesn't do that to me, and there's no character in it talking about how the system's wrong.
No, it's a bit it felt rushed, and I know we had to wait a while for this film to come out, but I feel like they've rushed the plot There could have been tweaks done to it to make it more nostalgic looking. For example, when they're in the Matrix back in the original films, everything had a green tinge, a bit like yourself today on that picture there. But this was normal, you know, ultra HD, 4K, vibrant colors and visuals, which is fine. That's the modern era. You know, technology's improved, picture quality's improved. But you needed to be able to see that you're in a virtual world. It was just too samey. Well, yes, in the human world, it's all underground caverns and ships and whatnot. But
to respect them a little bit, all due respect to them, they rebooted it.
This so is true.
They rebuilt it in a better image. And I remember, what's the little girl's name? What's her name now?
Santi. Is it Santi?
Sati. Sati, isn't it? She brought that sunrise up and there was loads of colours in it.
That's right, yeah.
And it looked a bit more like it does in this film. It looked more real-worldy for Neo. So there is an element there that he didn't have to have the green tinge. But like you just said, I think it loses something without that tint because it ties it to the rest of the series. Do you get me?
Yeah. It's kind of like when you watch... Like a movie from back in the day that is shot in colour and black and white. I tend to favour a black and white version because I feel like it's more pure. You can follow the story and characters better because you're not distracted by visuals and colours and vibrant images. Sometimes a black and white film can really be as current as today's equivalents because of the storytelling.
As an actor myself in the past, I know for sure that having no colour, it really puts the emphasis more on the acting and what's being told on screen because there's not, like you say, no distractions, but also people looking at you more than looking at everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
And it does, especially gritty stuff and even horror. It shows better in black and white. It has a more eerie look, doesn't it?
Yeah. It really does help.
So where are we in the story now? We've
seen Keanu. We've seen Thomas Anderson. He's struggling with life and he's taking pills and he keeps going onto his Matrix game when there's a glitch of some sort and hacking into it and figuring out what's going on, and he gets contacted via the game. Much like in the first movie, you know, we're trying to find you, Neo, you need to wake up, Neo, these kind of references. Yeah. And, you know, he's struggling. He's taking these blue pills to keep his visuals at bay and struggling in life, and he keeps seeing a certain woman on a daily basis at a local coffee store whose name is Tiffany.
Yeah.
Played by Carrie-Anne Moss. She's not Tiffany, but in this
breakfast
movie,
at Tiffany's.
yes, they only had coffee, but breakfast would count. Who we later find out is, of course, the rebooted Trinity, much like Thomas Anderson is the rebooted Neo.
Yeah.
For those of you wondering how they can bring their characters back, and this is jumping forward, so spoiler alert for everybody here.
Oh, yeah. Spoilers.
It's spoilers, yes. When they died in the third movie, they were officially dead, but the machine world decided that it's worth rebuilding them because it would keep the equilibrium of the Matrix. It's like yin and yang, positive, negative, that kind of thing. When those two are together, yes, bad things happen, but they also have that kind of, there's a magnetism that keeps the Matrix kind of ticking over by having them there, in there. So they spent all this time and effort rebuilding their bodies and putting them back into the Matrix, integrating them back in. But obviously their minds were as they were because they were keeping things hidden. You know, Neo, the fact that he wasn't referring to himself as Neo, when she was Tiffany instead of Trinity, and they had different lives now. But when they cross paths with each other, there's something there. They can sense that they kind of know each other, but they're not sure why. And it kind of goes from there. He starts to see her more often. She starts thinking about what he's doing. Why is this connection there when they've never met each other before? Meanwhile, machines are still trying to find the humans and the same kind of storylines from the first three films.
And I do like that the fact that he emphasised the struggle of someone who's really struggling with the Matrix. Because in the first one, Morpheus apologises to Neo at his age for pulling him out at that stage because the mind has trouble letting go. And I thought they were going to delve more into that, but they didn't in this. As soon as he was out, he was fine.
Perfectly fine.
And it didn't really sync up, maybe because he's already been through the process and it's just a click. You know, I don't know. But yeah, it's those wasted opportunities with the narrative that could have really worked to sell this film.
I think with the loss of Lawrence Fishburne and Hugo Weaving being in the film, when Thomas Anderson went to speak to his boss in the top of the office and saying about how they're going to do a Matrix 4 game and wanted input and Matrix 4. And he kept quoting lines that Smith said in the first one. I think he was staring out the window. He said, millions of people just living out their lives.
I thought that was just an Easter egg. I didn't think he was actually Smith. I just thought he was just a nod.
You know? Yeah, this is what happens. Like later in the movie, you kind of see him kind of almost like, I suppose, get like a download. You see his kind of eyes twitching kind of thing. And he just goes from being Thomas Anderson's, you know, high-flying boss to a new version of Smith, who didn't come across like a Smith at all.
I know.
Again, in my opinion. But it seems that when he was multiplying himself and when he was interacting with Neo and stuff in the first films, he's kind of, his mind's been set free. He's got full reign of the Matrix now. He can do what he wants. He can be what he wants. So
he doesn't need, this is one thing I need to clear up, he doesn't actually need a symbiotic relationship with
exactly
Neo, because I think Trinity's probably took that place now. But
yeah,
I don't know. I you know what gets me about the Smith character? We've got 2 and 3 that cover that pretty well in the real world. You've got a guy who's not Smith playing Smith, and he's not a caricature. He's someone who is Smith inside but not out, and he's got everything right with the acting.
The mannerisms, the voice, that kind of thing.
You know, the long pauses and you're surprised to see me. And it's all those little nuances that the actor's got spot on, in the especially the third one. So why is this, I call him a pretty boy in the fourth one. He's a pretty boy. And I appreciate that the actors said to himself, right, I'm not going to fucking bother trying to emulate Hugo Weaving. There's no fucking point. So I'm just going to do my own thing. And he did his own thing and it worked for the film, but not as Smith, because Smith was intimidating when we've said this before in your podcast, when he takes his glasses off in the interrogation room and does nothing but look at him and go, and that's intimidating. Not shouting at the top of your voice. And I rolled my eyes at that point. I really rolled my eyes.
It's a shame. I mean, we want to go on this journey. We want to see, you know, why Neo is back and what's going to happen when he gets back out of the Matrix, having struggled to get out of it in the first place. He's back in there. What kind of things will he have to do to escape again? And what's going to happen when he just gets to the real world? What's he going to say? Who's he going to interact with? These are the kind of things that we wanted in the first film. We were behind them the whole time. We wanted them to be set free. We wanted to see what he would do when he went back in the Matrix to kick butt and that kind of thing. But it was just a kind of, well, I mean, he might get out. Might not.
Meh.
You know,
yeah.
I feel like all we've done so far is slate it. And I'm sorry to any of you
who may want
to switch off, but...
We haven't slated it. Look, I've been offering nuggets of truth, which are like,
well,
give him his due. Because like you said with Smith, he did a good performance and he put better than the Morpheus actor. But it's still, if you're going to bring that character back, it has to be either the person who did it himself, which is Hugo Weaving, or not at all. Because it's too iconic.
You can't reboot a character and expect to have the same vibe on screen. And I get it. You know, new actors, new storylines, character twists, that kind of thing. You will expect a different cast, but iconic roles like original Agent Smith, original Morpheus, but you need the original actors if they're able to do it. Now, granted, years have passed. Maybe they're not as agile as they used to be. But, you know, these days you can use those like de-aging softwares that you seem to see on a lot of films. So you can make them look a bit younger.
Well, I did some research on it. And Lawrence Fishburne wasn't asked to come back.
Oh.
Don't know why. Maybe he just didn't fit the story. Maybe the story wouldn't have worked with him in it.
I suppose because of the time frame, it was set years later, so he would have been a lot older anyway.
Yeah, because it looks to me like the character was written off in the comics, in the Matrix that followed after.
Yeah,
I think he was killed off in a war or whatever.
Okay.
So that's why there's a statue.
Of course, yeah.
You know, the Lionel Richie statue. That's not my joke. And literally, they killed him off in the comics, so they couldn't really bring him back, but they wanted him back anyway. So they've concocted a way of doing it, but it wouldn't have worked with the older actor because he's not old anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's young. So I understand that to a point, but again, why bother? Just put a new character there.
I would have liked to see maybe if like Morpheus 1 had left some kind of like, you know, like a video diary or something where words of advice or...
I like that.
If Neo ever comes back, you know, please tell him this or do this when you want to help people, or just maybe a series of videos or images that they could refer to if the one was ever to return, you know, and it would have been nice to have that little nod.
because yeah. according to the film, Morpheus went out there selfishly or arrogantly or whatever her name is, said, to find Neo again, really, and got killed in the process, I think.
Yeah.
And that is perfect, that idea. Why couldn't he have done that? Because, again,
you know, he's coming back after being reborn, and yet they find this USB stick, for lack of a better word, or whatever equivalent they would have, press play, you know, messages left by Morpheus, you know, Neo, if you ever return, I want you to know this, that, the other. I want you to do this. I'd like you to try and do this, blah, blah, blah. But heartfelt messages from Neo's original past that's come back to help him. Would have been nice, just a little nod.
Oh, Davey, why did you say that? It's got me upset now, because that's a great idea.
Hey, I'm no movie director. It would have been nice to have some sort of Lawrence Fishburne reference.
That would have been so good. Instead of a shitty statue, you know, why not have something that connects the old Morpheus into the franchise? They filmed this during COVID, you know. I mean, she was going to cancel it, apparently, as well. But they could have done it at distance.
It's one of those things. People have got the hype built up and they wanted to see the product, so they've got to get it out in the timeline given.
Well, it's like you say, a lot of the commentary has said that Lana Wachowski did this on purpose, metally on purpose, poking fun at Warner Brothers for forcing their hand to make this film.
I did get that reference. It's quite funny.
And it's funny, but again, to me, it felt very cynical.
Mm.
You know, it's like, why are we doing this? We don't want to do this. And everyone in the room doesn't want to do it, but they have to do it anyway. And it's like it's been done metally, meta on purpose to poke fun at the franchise for coming back. Oh, you've got me upset now about that.
Hey, everyone. Do you like original takes on your favourite movies, TV shows and more? I certainly do. Why not head over to stuffofkings.co.uk? Hailing from Liverpool, England, the mighty Stuff of Kings brings you a great selection of pin badges, art prints and more. There's something for everybody. Find them on the socials at Stuff of Kings. Use the exclusive code DAVEY10 over at stuffofkings.co.uk. That's DAVEY10 to receive a special discount. You'd be mad not to. Well, let's try and cheer it up then. Let's focus on some nice things about it. So we have
we have Neo
coming back, and he's not quite the one. He hasn't got the flight. He hasn't got the full on knowledge of kung fu and stopping things from hitting him. But certain aspects are creeping through as he's getting through the film. You know, he's able to redirect things coming towards him. He has a little bit of kung fu bits coming back, and Morpheus is trying to push him to get back to his former self in order to get back to Trinity and become his original Neo self, which we know wouldn't happen. It's been years. He's not quite as kung fu-y and agile as he used to be. So those kicks aren't as high anymore. Those punches aren't as strong, but he can push things away. He can still deflect those bullets. And
we can do that.
Things. Yeah. I did like, and again, going forward a bit, there was a scene when there's a big combat scene and he goes to do the flight. So he's just that crouching down thing with his arm, and then he just stands up and he says, literally, yeah, that's not happening. I'm not flying off. So just starts to walk off. It's like, great. Yeah.
I don't know how true this is, but apparently some people have said it's life into erectile dysfunction. It's just not happening. Well, can't go up.
It's got so many hidden meanings in The Matrix. So many.
Yeah. Not clever ones in this one, but it does feel like sledgehammer sometimes.
It does. A lot of use of the slow-mo again. Obviously, the bullet time from the first film was like groundbreaking and they used it since, but a lot of those kind of slow motion, you know, cameras flipping upside down kind of thing for the combat scenes, again, we've seen it in the first few films. We kind of expect flips and jumping in the air with guns in hands and punching walls out, these kind of things. We expect all this, but this just didn't give off the same sort of vibe.
Yeah, there was a couple of points where it slowed down, it went it didn't have the same impact. It felt like I'd done it on the phone, and I think that's half the problem. This film looks like another thing I read before. It felt like a CW show where they made the show Flash or whatever. It felt like something like that, where everything was like bright, saturates on the screen, and it felt cheap, even though it's a really, really expensive film. Because you'd imagine it looked like better than the Reloaded car chase.
Yeah, which was a great car chase.
I know. I mean, Trinity's ass.
I That's I kind of expected something to be groundbreaking. Like, they did Bullet Time, which made Matrix one of those, like, standout films with the heavy use of bullet time. I would have thought for this, you know, again, reboot slash remake, whatever you're going to call it, something new would have come into play in terms of movie-making technology, you know, some new bit of kit that they're using just for this film that's going to make it, you know, groundbreaking again. But
I don't think any filmmaker's got that in him anymore. I think James Cameron may have something up his sleeve for Avatar.
He's bouncing, you know, isn't he? Something
the 10 sequels, because he's worked so long on them. I do think he's got something up his sleeve that'll groundbreak everything again. But you don't have that anymore. With it's all about throwaway commodities right now.
Yeah.
There's no real... I mean, this film wasn't made to break any new ground. It was made for the studio to make money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a fan film. We got lots of references, like you say, Easter eggs throughout the film of, you know, the films that we've become fans of in the run-up to this. Like, they were using images from the Matrix game, which was just clips of the original film, which it was nice to see. You know, we saw original Neo, we saw the fight with Smith and all these kind of bits and bobs. So,
it doesn't help. It does a disservice to the film we're in, because we're trying to connect to the new world and they keep showing us the old one.
Yeah.
And it's like when Smith is on screen with the other Smith, you know, when it flips back and forth and you can see him acting versus his acting and the differences. And you prefer the original.
Yeah,
because you can see it. You can see it right there. And you're like, oh, just give me that one.
I mean, the concept, the idea, I did have high hopes for, and I still like the basic premise of it. It's essentially the original film, but given a new twist. It's a bit like Star Wars Force Awakens when that came out. The plot sort of goes alongside, quite similarly to original Star Wars, the Falcon chases, the main bad guy, the new Jedi coming into it. It's very much, you know, Rey and Luke are similar. You know, Vader and, oh my God, what's his name?
I should know
it as well. Bad guy in Force Awakens anyway. I can't remember his name. No, it's gone out of my head. But,
call yourself a fan.
But my memory's not where it used to be. I'm getting old. Shut up.
You're younger than me.
Oh, I don't feel it, you know. But again, similar kind of storytelling. Matrix Resurrections plays very much like Matrix does. It's got, you know, a protagonist and antagonist, a backstory that's very similar. Getting out into the real world, again, very similar. Going to go back in to fight your way to get what you want. You know, Neo wants to rescue Trinity in the original one. He goes to rescue Trinity to prove he's the one. It's all using similar story.
The thing is, though, it's like with Terminator Dark Fate. It's like with these other, like you said, Star Wars and that. You're telling the same story, but repackaged.
It was Kylo Ren. Just remembered.
Oh, she scared me then. I thought it was...
Sorry, everyone. It just popped in. Kylo Ren.
I knew that name.
Sorry, go on.
The thing is, they're repackaging original creative content.
Yeah.
Rebranding it, bringing it back out, but telling the same story. Like with Star Trek, exactly the same. Because I hated Star Trek Into Darkness, because you had a fresh take, new crew that were taking on into a new age, and all they did was tell Wrath of Khan again. And you're like, why? You've got the ability to tell new stories now. You've rebooted it successfully into a new alternate reality where you can tell new ideas, new concepts, new themes for a new generation. And what are you doing? Khan! We've seen that. You know, like what you just said about Star Wars, they've already told this story, but the only difference is now that Luke is now a woman.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a new version for a new generation. Like, I get this could be a potential trilogy reboot, it could be a potential spin-off, but it's bringing a new audience to an already established franchise, and that's perfectly fine. Younger audiences then can watch this. And
but the thing is that your younger audiences aren't thick either, because I know a lot of people who are well younger than me in the 20s or whatever, never seen the original Matrix. They think Keanu Reeves is John Wick instead of Neo. I believe it's Neo. And they've gone, oh, this movie looks okay. I'll just watch from the beginning and see. And they prefer the original then.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's
exactly
much better. So, and then they go, oh, it's shit that compared to this one, isn't it? So anyway, let's go on to, obviously, we spoke about Smith. And did you like anything apart in the characterization, the direction of what Smith was doing?
No, was your answer. I get the character was basically being Thomas's boss, and then something snapped, and then Smith took over, kind of thing.
Yeah, because he looked at a gun, didn't he? He went, ooh, well, yeah, I like it.
Exactly. So in the run-up to that, it's just a very kind of boring kind of boss type. But when he did become Smith, there was no Smith mannerisms there. Every time he spoke, there was a flashback of what Smith would have said, and then his version of it, when he's fighting against Neo, they use similar fighting styles, like in the subway station, that kind of thing. Just didn't give off a Smith vibe. And I get it, it's a reboot, you know, like Morpheus 2.0, it's Smith 2.0, it's a different person playing him, different mannerisms and so on. He was no Smith. In my mind, anyway.
No,
what about you?
He was not even. Again, if this is so unfair to the actor, because the actor did a good job in trying to create something new with the character. You can tell he was trying his best not to mimic Hugo Weaving's portrayal, and I appreciate that with him.
Yeah,
but he was on a losing battle because people remember Smith for doing that. Remember, he had Morpheus's head in his hand going, I hate this place. I hate it. And his eyes and his the way he's pulling his...
Yeah.
It's sinister. You can see the hate even when he's fighting. And this one, he's like he's going, Ninga Ringa Roses, I hate you. And it feels very... like it's like if The Matrix was in the Vampire Diaries. It felt like that.
Okay.
Because he's a pretty boy, and I don't recognize Smith as a pretty boy. I recognize him as something that's quite odd, you know. Yeah. So no,
but not a good Smith, but their Smith, their version of Smith.
Well, again, let's put all what we think about of him aside when it comes to acting and the character. What was his motivation?
I don't believe he had one.
Apart from kill. Leave it.
I mean, I just don't see that he had one in the originals. It was always kind of, he had to be the alpha male of the piece. You know, he kept having to prove that he was better than Neo and not realizing that deep down they were equals. They had to coexist, kind of thing, but he wanted to beat him all the time, hence the taking over in the second and third films. So he could be dominant and be the dominant force in the whole Matrix.
Yeah, because he wanted to be free from the Matrix as it's designed. And the only way that happened was because Neo jumped into Smith, destroyed his program, but a part of his code imprinted onto Smith, which made him part of the system too, which he could change and adapt and grow, and it became a virus in itself, really.
And I
say that happened with Trinity, which makes sense that she's sort of the one too, because he brought her back to life using his code in the second one.
That makes sense, yeah, like you say, yeah.
He's like fingering her with the code. He's like that, and it changes. You know what I mean?
Interesting visual there.
I hope my mum isn't watching. And it reactivates her avatar, and she becomes part of the code, but it's only reactivated again when she dies again. So it makes sense. The stuff here that makes sense, but what doesn't make sense is when they start going, oh, it's been like this all along. She's this, and she's all powerful, and girlfriend. And I'm like, no, it didn't happen. There's only supposed to be one. That's why it's the one.
The one, not the ones.
Not part of the one. I found part one. Where's the other part? No, I left it somewhere. You know what I mean? And it grates on me when she starts flying around. You know, it doesn't...
That at the end, it was... and again, we're skipping forward. But all that time, she's been fighting for Neo and fighting to prove that she's, you know, a good fighter and whatnot. To just jump off a building and then just floats. Oh, so she wasn't trained in how to do this. It just suddenly she can
just
float.
Knows because she could always do it.
If she could always do it, then why couldn't she save herself jumping off that building with all the guns flying all those years ago?
Well, no, it wasn't activated then.
What an absolute crock!
In my head theory, it wasn't activated then. For it's like with when Neo was always the one, but it took a death to activate the code and start the process. I think the same happened to her once she died eventually in the real world and reanimated. Yeah. I do think they should have elaborated clearly how this happened. Instead of retconning and said, it's happened. They should have said, right, well, when we rebuilt these two, they had to be built together because they were together in the final act, you know, when fisted. And now they coexist. And the same with Smith. That makes sense too, why he's in it, really, because he was, like the Oracle said, part of the equation trying to balance it out, because Neo was getting all powerful, and then because he's got the code too, he's getting all powerful, and they're going,
That's right, yeah.
Until one of them had to give in, which was Neo in the end. It could have been explained very easily, but they didn't.
Just lots of things to keep us, you know, our eyes entertained. You know, great visuals, great combat sequences. Not really great dialogue. Well, there were some combat sequences. You know, Keanu, bless him, he did try to be like originally and do some kicks and stuff. But it was all of that. It was all the magic and the pushing. And I could fight you, but I'd rather just push you out the way. Kind of thing.
Talk to the hand.
Oh my god! Yeah, remember?
Talk to the many hands. But the thing is, right? I don't know. What bugs me is that the action. I can't remember a single action set piece in this that stands out. In every single film, well, especially the first one, there's loads in the first. Mm. But in the second and third, there's always one standout moment where you go, "Oh my god, that was unique to this film."
Yeah.
Can you remember?
I mean, no. There was quite a few, you know, fighting sequences in there. The little training montage with Morpheus 2 and Neo, the fight scene when they're in that kind of warehouse thing, and there's
The French guy.
The French guy turns up with some old baddies, and they're all fighting one on one in different parts of this warehouse.
But doesn't do anything, does he?
He just swears at them in French with his big trampy beard, looking like Castaway. Just what the hell? Again,
it's a fan film. Bring him back as some sort of control grid or something that, because he's part of the old Matrix, isn't he?
That's right. Yeah.
So it would have been really happy. I would have been happy to see how he fit into the Civil War element. You know, it when the machines. Cool.
I think
war.
He should have been still pristine. The whole like trampy beard look didn't suit him. If he'd still walked in, you know, pristine with the suit and all that, and
again, that's a meta joke. It's a joke to say he babbles on. Look at him, he's babbling on. And it's a disservice to the character again, because there's a reason why he was like that. He wasn't to piss us off. He was about cause and effect. His character was all about, well, because the first one was about choice and destiny and that. The second one was about when you do this, you cause something to happen, and it's the reaction. And then the third one was about dealing with difficult choices in the end and settling it. There's no message in this film, from what I could see. I mean, what when you think about, take a step back and think back, was there a point in the movie where you thought, maybe they're going with this, maybe that's what they're thinking of? Is there a moment that...
I mean, for me, nothing, sequence by sequence, nothing got me excited or forward thinking about what's going to come in the rest of the film. Where's the plot going? What are we going to see next? What my hopes are for the certain characters. I just watched it for the sake of getting through it. I'm deeply upset by the fact that it turned out to be what it was. And again, to some people, it'll be a great film. But like us, where we appreciate the original trilogy and certainly the original movie, we kind of have that mindset of what we hoped. We hoped it would have good maybe to that kind of story.
Maybe that's our fault. Maybe we've said to each other, we've given ourselves too higher expectations.
Quite possibly, yes.
Because the original trilogy tried to be deep, and this one isn't trying to be deep. It's trying to take. I think they're trying to have the cake and eat it when it comes to, we're being forced to make this film, so we're going to make it meta. And it's like, again, back to Terminator, they inject too much humour into something that's supposed to be quite a serious thing. The original did have humor with the Matrix, but it was little things here and there, you know, like mouse tasty wheat or.
They don't have that anymore. They can grow strawberries now, so that's all good.
Oh yeah, she's got a boner for strawberries, isn't she? This woman. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the new place that they live in?
What, was it Iona or something like that?
Yeah. Why replace it?
Well, obviously Zion was destroyed.
Well, Well, they had the cave in. Inside and that, but why rebuild it and then poo-poo the original and say, oh, that was very this, and this is...
Well, this is all, they've shown the whole, like, you know, certain machines have evolved to leave the machine city and bond with humans and cause this means to grow things and create things by having a harmony between each other, you know, the machines need us and we need the machines, which is the same in life, you know. Even doing this right now, we're reliant heavily on machines. You know, technology is all over us, all around us. We do require it.
And I like that concept, that because it was one thing I was looking for was how the hell do you, because I know the Oracle and the Architect were bickering at the end of the third one. How's this going to work, you know? And I wanted to see how that worked. I wanted to see, are people aware that they can leave up to a certain age, and then they've got the choice to leave and come back and go out and come back, and then over a certain age you don't. I wanted to see how that real world aspect fit in, but we never got to see that.
I mean, I'm sure there's probably going to be some literature out there, you know, a backstory, a novelization of what the full entirety was going to be. There'll be something out there that will fill the gaps that we didn't get filled in the film.
Yeah, it's probably my lazy fault for not reading it. I should get on to it. I know people are going to say, watch the Animatrix, or read the comics and stuff.
Yeah.
I just haven't, because I just haven't really... You know, when you go, oh, I'll read that, that sounds really good, and then suddenly it's a year later and you still haven't done it. It's been like that for years and years with me.
That's fair.
You know.
I mean, essentially, we got elements of the first film rebranded and given a new lease of life. But aside from having Neo and Trinity back in it, there wasn't much else to keep us entertained.
And that wasn't even... I mean, their love story wasn't what grabbed me in the original. I thought they lost chemistry as every movie went. It was kind of strange. So I wasn't hooked to that, and so they wasted too much time in this fourth one dwelling on this and rescuing Trinity, which we already know they're going to do because it's in the trailer.
Yeah.
So why waste all this time with, oh, wonder if they're going to succeed? We know they're going to succeed.
I did like to see when Neo, you know, escaped and was back out in the real world, and he was bald again with no beard. I haven't seen Keanu Reeves without a beard on his face for years, so it was nice to see what his face looks like without a beard on it.
You look like my uncle.
Uncle Neo.
Hello, Uncle Neo. Hello. And again, Trinity with no hair as well. That's new.
Yeah. It was nice to see. I mean, in the originals, we didn't see her in the Matrix. We just seen her, you know, fight for the resistance. So you kind of got a nod of what it would have been like for when she was initially in it and was freed, because we never ever saw that. So it was nice that that kind of...
You know what else was nice? Sorry to interrupt, but the... You know, when we were talking about the original on your podcast, where we were talking about the subsuds on the window?
Yes.
In the office. And you're like...
Yes.
And you can see the code. It happened again in this one, but they actually put the graphics on instead of letting it drip.
Okay.
And you can see the light, little, and I like that effect. That was pretty good. But that's because I like the original concept of letting the rainwater do it, and clever lighting and clever soap suds, you know. And they just superimposed it on this one. But I did like the effect. It's little things like that I do like. But again, it's surrounded by a waste of my time.
Yeah, which is a hell of a way to review it. Matrix Resurrections, a waste of my time. But you take from it what you will.
Is there anything deep about this film apart from?
No, there wasn't. There was nothing that had me thinking about life and existence and all that like the original Matrix did. The original Matrix, when it was released, people went nuts over it. They were all thinking, oh, what's real, what's not? You know, although we're watching a film, are we actually watching a film? People went crazy. Conspiracy theorists out there all went nuts over the Matrix and what messages were behind it. Yeah. This one didn't leave me thinking anything other than, could I get a refund? You know what I mean? That's the only thing I wanted to know.
Yeah, but there'd be a fee for that, which is about half the price, you know. And I think what stuck out to me is that, I think I alluded to this before, but they go all out on this film to blame the people in it for being settled in a comfortable life, whereas the original focused on breaking the system of control, which is all around us, and it's imprisoned us. Those people in this one are still imprisoned, but they make all this reference to, oh, people are just cattle, they're all comfortable, they don't like this, or the zombies now, they're chucking them out the window because I tell them to, and there's no emphasis on the struggle that these people are going through. There's none of that. It's all about poo-pooing the people rather than the system itself.
Yeah.
Apart from Neil Patrick Harris, who was the most entertaining part of this, but he still didn't fit into the... It didn't fit in. To the Matrix.
And him being the main bad guy in it. I mean, we knew it was coming, but it was just...
I just saw him more as a program. I didn't think he was going to be the head person, you know, the one who was up the whole brains of the operation. I never thought that.
And the weapon he used was slow motion. Oh, yeah. So here's Neo.
Clever.
It was like that scene in the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man film when the buddy goes to punch him and you just see his fist and he's like, huh?
He's like, huh? I thought you were going to say Judge Dredd then. Not just
Judge
Dredd.
Why would I say Judge Dredd? Oh, Dredd.
Dredd
has a lot of slow-mo in it.
Really. Slow-mo when they take that chemical, don't they?
Yeah. That's a great movie, by the way.
I love that. We've got to review that. That's a podcast topic for you.
There's enough Dredd in this particular episode right now, but we'll try and lift it if we can.
Yeah, but this Matrix doesn't have Carl Urban in.
It does not.
The idea of Neil Patrick Harris being this system of control, you know, trying to keep him with the blue glasses on, the cat, it worked for me. And then he suddenly went, oh, I'm a bastard who created all this nonsense. I'm like, it doesn't work to me. That does not work.
Yeah, it's not good. Things like Trinity getting her memory back via is she called Bug in it? I think she was called Bug in it. And she kind of goes into her body and kind of reignites Trinity's knowledge of fighting and why she was there. And
yeah, because you have to transport her body. But that just seems like a contrived way of keeping Trinity in the story.
Yeah.
Rather than a cool idea. You know how some ideas are like written because, oh my God, wouldn't it be cool if we played with this concept? This one felt like, oh, we can't just go unplugged. Boom, 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 boom. And she's out the movie for a bit because she needs to be in the film still. So it felt contrived a little bit, even though it was a cool idea still. It felt like a means to an end rather than actually a cool concept. And I do like that character, by the way, the blue haired girl. Bugs, is it?
I think it's Bugs, yeah.
I do like her, but the movie forgot she was a character.
Like the Niobe of the piece, and I know there's a feature in it, even though she's older. And
yeah, that was awful.
But she was like the new, you know, the young captain who wants to prove herself and fight for everyone and all that. And I did appreciate that. You know, she was a good character, but a lot of these characters weren't memorable for me.
Well, she was the only one who was memorable, and they forgot about her once she got to a certain point. She wasn't important anymore, even though the film was mainly geared for her, I found. It was about her journey to discover Neo again. You know,
she was looking for the one. She was almost like the Morpheus of the piece, you know, the quest to find the one and prove that the one is still in there and can help balance out everything and, you know, control and so on.
And to me, it would have worked if we'd have followed her in the real world, going back and forth into the Matrix, out the Matrix, with this clue that she's going, oh, my God, this happened. And I want to know if he still exists. I'll carry the baton from Morpheus, because Morpheus died in reality. And then finding him again, but not having Keanu Reeves in it, if you get me, until the end and maybe spin off into the second. With the Hugo Weaving's character, I was assuming that character, I assumed that was him in the mirror. You know, the yin and yang of Smith and Neo together, because they were yin and yang, you know, opposites to each other. Yeah. I thought he was showing himself as a cameo slightly, and then he was going to, that could be another concept in the future. But
these are all what ifs.
That's a good idea, but didn't work.
Yeah. So, in short then, did we enjoy this film?
No.
No, no. I think that's about as short as it gets. Did you like it? No.
Because, I mean, let's say, again, the same feeling happened with something else that I watched, and it was like, if you were to say it wasn't The Matrix, it could be a good film you put on. Like, that's it, Independence Day Resurgence. It reminded me of that for some reason. It's a terrible film. But it reminded me of that because it's so bad. Again, grains of good ideas, but rubbish. Yeah. And to me, if it wasn't called The Matrix and it was a separate thing, it'd be all right. It'd just be a fun film that you just go, ah, it's just that over there, like Skyscraper or whatever it is with The Rock in. You know, silly stuff that he comes out with sometimes. It's like that. That's how it feels. But as a Matrix, no, it's not. It's not. And I think it's dead in the water now. I don't think the trilogy can recover from this.
I mean, it was nice to see some characters that we've loved come back onto screen. But let's face it, it didn't work.
Well, Neo's not going to come back.
No.
I assumed, that Neo was going to be in it. And it's going to be like, I'm transferring my code to you. You can fight this battle. Me and Trinity are going to go off into the sunset and live our life normally. in peace because I'm done fighting. That's how I perceived it. And then this new Bugs character with the new team was going to lead the latest phase of fight. But again, we're not smart enough.
No. If we were smart enough, we wouldn't have gone to watch it.
Oh, but there you go. You know what? This is another thing that's pissed me off because I avoided the second trailer for spoilers. And now I wish I'd spoiled it because I wouldn't have got. Because I've seen the second trailer now and it's got Smith in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have gone because it would have been, I was so disappointed when he went, Mr. Anderson. I was like, for goodness sake. But marks out of 10.
A risky 3, I'd say.
Based on
the fact that if you take Matrix out of it, like you said, it's just a very mediocre sci-fi based action movie, which you could put on and fall asleep to quite easily.
And then say it's ripped off the Matrix in certain spots, but it's not the
exactly,
Matrix.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like, basically, it's a Matrix straight to TV movie.
Yes. So
when the budget's really low, there's been more since, but let's not talk about that. There's four Home Alone films. Then there was like Home Alone. So Home Sweet Home Alone came off fairly recently. I think there's like Home Alone for Christmas. So there was loads, basically.
Literally, by the second one, it was done.
You got the gist. His parents are terrible. They came back and found him in the end. He got rid of some burglars. Great.
And then he became sore. That's how it's supposed to be. No more. Because again, the second one, people criticise the second Home Alone for being, it's the same as the other one. But I think it's better than the
first.
It is
a good movie. It is. What about yourself? What are you going to rate?
I'm going to rate mate. I'm going to say the same, 3. Because 4 sounds too high and 2 sounds too low. I agree. I think, again, they were forced to do it. I think that there wasn't any originality with this. They had a play about with stuff. And I hate that concept, you know, the meeting, board meeting.
Yeah,
scene,
yeah.
Where they got that song in it. And, oh, God, I hate that scene so much. again, everything I hated about the film is everything that's new.
Yeah.
And everything that's old that's in it, I can just go back and watch. Yeah. So I'm going to uncannon this from my memory.
Stick with the trilogy.
3 out of 10. So, sir, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Yes, well, always a pleasure to be here. Viewers, please watch it and get your own opinion and let us know what you think of it. Obviously, we've kind of torn it to shreds because we didn't enjoy the movie, but people are enjoying it out there. I don't know these people, but there are people out there who are enjoying it. And by all means, get in touch. Let us know what you think. And, you know, whether you agree or disagree, we'd love to find out.
Can I just say as a closing remark as well, because I echo that, I do get what they were trying to do. I do get it, but it doesn't work. It doesn't defeat the object just because it's meta, just because it's ironic in places and they were trying to be funny with stuff. It still doesn't work. It doesn't work for anything. So to me, 3 out of 10 is quite generous.
I think so, yeah.
And I've tried to be as fair with this as possible, like we said before. I tried my best, but I can't escape the feeling I had when I left the cinema, which was crushing disappointment.
There you go. Take that from me.
So, and you didn't even tell. I watched this at the same time as you, and none of us told each other how we felt, but it was there still, and we were like, The Matrix. I was like, busy this week.
Yeah. I've got that wallpaper I need to look at, and that paint that's drying, that needs looking at. That drip's really dripping now,
I've got that sandpapering to do on the stairs. But yeah, anyway.
Good luck.
Thank you, sir. And if you want to catch Davey on his podcast, what is it?
My podcast is called I Give That 10 Minutes, a fun chat about movies, TV shows, collectability, geeky stuff, sci-fi, all kinds of bits and bobs. Search me at the time. Find me on the socials at Davey810Mins, but I'm on most podcasting outlets, Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcast, and many more. Come and listen to me. Let me know what you think.
And obviously, I'm here because you're watching it. So I'm here for your pleasure anytime you want. Not you, Davey, the viewers on many platforms. There's too many to go into. Some of them involve vibration chairs. But apart from that, thank you, sir. And hopefully 2022 will have a movie we can go and see that we'll enjoy.
Fingers crossed.
Peace out.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Take the blue pill.